New Zealand's 31-year, 50-match unbeaten streak at Eden Park is on the line this Saturday. But what if the Springboks have a secret weapon no one is talking about? It's a part of our repertoire that has always been a source of pride. And today, I'm going to reveal why it might just give us the decisive edge we need. And in this episode, you're going to get a front row seat to what makes the Springboks so dangerous. It's not just tackling, it's dominant tackles. Firstly, what is a dominant tackle, you might ask? Well, it's when I tackle you, or you tackle me, but let's say I'm going to tackle you in this case, and one of two things happen. I, one, stop your momentum, i.e. you are unable to quickly offload, recycle, etc. Or two, and this is the one I like best, tackle you and I gain meters. You might have the ball, but you've just lost territory. And Dr. Russi Rasmus's team are the best in the world at this. And it's not even close. Doc's team's dominant tackles percentage is 15%. Now you might say, so what? What does that mean? I need context, Pete. And here it is. The British and Irish Lions, Australia, New Zealand, and France are all somewhere around the 3% mark. And when I say somewhere, I mean less than. So you're looking at 2.9, 2.8, etc. So that means that our dominant tackles give us a 5x advantage over any opponent we come up against. That is massive, guys. Now, I'll be honest with you, that 15% was in one test against Georgia. But when we played Italy and Australia, we were still up at around the 10% mark. So when we play, let's call it a weaker opponent, we're closer to 15. And when we play somebody who's more at our level, and I say that with all due respect, you're looking at around 10%. That is still three times, sometimes even four times, better off than the other top sides in international rugby. This truly is an area where we are streets ahead of everybody else. The key now for me is to use that, nurture it, and channel it when we take on the All Blacks at Eden Park. But dominant tackles alone won't win us the game. We'll also need to get our house in order in some key areas. And I'm going to tell you why one of them in particular has me scratching my head. It's like possession. You can have as much of the ball as you like, but if you don't score points, then what did it help you? The opposition can simply absorb the pressure, defend well, and feast on turnover ball. You might have noticed that that was exactly what happened to us at Ellis Park against Australia. So in order for us to defeat the old enemy in Auckland on Saturday, we will need more than just dominant tackles, sure. But at the same time, dominant tackles that help us three, four, or even five times more than their dominant tackles is only something that can benefit us. And believe me, we're going to need every little bit of advantage we can find. Now, having said that, there are other areas that no doubt will have to be better than what we've seen so far in 2025, especially against the Wallabies. I'm looking for a stronger defensive showing from the box. Historically, this has always been our greatest strength, our brick wall defense. The fact that we have shipped 50 points in the last two tests is something that has to hurt. But I'm backing our boys to set that right, soon and very soon. How about the lineouts? I don't know what the problem is there. We've actually been struggling in that department for a while now, even last year. For starters, it would help if our hooker, or hookers, could find their jumpers on a more consistent basis. I mean, at the moment, it feels like Malcolm and Bongi are both missing at least two lineouts per test. That's four in 80 minutes. It might not sound like much, but it's a problem. I mean, we're probably looking at between 15 and 20 lineouts per test match. Let's assume that half are on our throw-in, half on the opposition, and you lose, so let's call it 8 to 10 lineouts per test, and you're losing four of them on your own throw. That's half. It's problematic. You're not doing yourself any favors when you do that. I said our defense is our greatest strength, and perhaps the maul is our strongest weapon. We've hardly mauled in recent tests. And I want to see that return. I also wonder if perhaps we haven't been holding this back, especially for the Kiwis. We'll find out on Saturday, won't we? And then our attacking shape. A lot of people have become angry with the Tony Ball approach. Guys, despite what we saw, especially at Ellis Park, I promise you that Tony Ball is not another version of touch rugby, despite what it might look like. There is indeed method to the madness. It involves time, space, decision-making, accurate kicking, especially into areas where our opponents might struggle to cover. And I promise you that that is what's actually going on. That's what it's all about. And the decision-making, that's the big one for me here. I really do think that with all our heavy rotation and the privilege of being able to field several different combinations has given us a lot of options. And maybe just right now, while everyone is getting used to what is being asked of them, there might even be too many options. No doubt that will get sorted out. But even if we fix all of that, there's a final, more daunting challenge. The mental hurdle of Eden Park. The fact the All Blacks haven't lost there for so long adds a mystique and an aura, but I believe it's a curse we can and must ignore. The fact the All Blacks haven't lost there for such a long time adds a mystique and an aura, as I said, but if we were playing them in Hong Kong this week, would you make them the favourites? Would you say it will be almost impossible to beat them? I doubt it. I have spotted several weaknesses in the Kiwi game, not least of all their defence and that back three of theirs. They're not the superhuman side they were in the 2010s. They're a good side, to be sure, but they're far from invincible. I actually think, apart from getting the game plan right, our biggest challenge, really, is to ignore the Eden Park factor. Forget that you're playing at a place where they haven't lost since 1994. If we can get that out of our heads, or at least minimize it, then we've got a golden opportunity here. I do believe that at elite high performance level, often the difference between the players and teams is just a mental one. For example, the Wallabies were clearly good enough to beat the British and Irish Lions. They could have won that series. But perhaps mentally, they had bought into the pre-series notion that they were an inferior side and that this was supposedly the best Lion side in decades. When that happens, then you've already lost the match before kickoff. You're playing the jersey rather than the man. And in our case, on Saturday, the danger is that we play the venue rather than what's in front of us. It's just another patch of grass with rugby poles on either side and the appropriate white lines drawn. Yes, the majority of the crowd will be cheering for the All Blacks, but that could also have been the case in Hong Kong, or Harare, or Honolulu. Get out there and make it happen, boys. I know you can do it. What do you think? Do you agree that these dominant tackles are just the kind of thing that can some way go some way towards giving the Springboks the edge? Or do you think, no matter what we do or try to do, the Eden Park curse will strike yet again? Let me know in the comment section down below. And just before I go, guys, I'd like to encourage you to head on over to my Patreon page and sign up as a patron. There are great benefits to be had, like, for example, you could get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok rugby player. You could also get a chance to have quarterly Zoom calls with me, where we discuss Springbok matches, history, tactics, coaches, whatever your heart's desire. In addition to that, you can also stand a chance to win Springbok merchandise and gear, as well as the brand new James Small biography that's coming out soon. In addition to that, you can also get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched online store. If that sounds like something you're interested in, head on over to my Patreon page. The link is in the description area below. Sign up as a patron. It costs $5 per month. That's US, not Zimbabwean. And the reason I'm asking for all of this and giving you all of this, well, guys, I would love to do this full time, and I would love to go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you from down under on a daily basis. If that sounds like something you want to get behind, head on over to that Patreon page, sign up as a patron, and I'll see you next time.